Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners Podcast. Colin, I have had weather whiplash lately.
Oh my God. You're calling it?
That's what I'm calling it, because this is spring in Alberta. Probably across the country they're experiencing this, but we've had snow, we've had rain, we've had everything.
I can handle that. What I can't handle is that after we had 20 degrees.
But that's exactly what I mean. That's where the whiplash comes in, because, you know, at one point we were saying, oh, wow, there's daylilies coming up in my garden. And now today we're seeing snow. But I mean, you even saw your first tulip blooming despite the snow.
Yep. It was almost, the snow almost triggered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't there until it was there. And then we got that snow a few days ago. And hey, presto, it rocketed up.
Yeah.
So but you know what? If I'm being 100% honest, I would dig that tulip out and throw it in the compost if it meant I could have 20 degree weather again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't love my tulips that much.
But here's the thing, and you totally touched on it. It's like that moisture is going to trigger all of that growth, and then things are just going to skyrocket after this. Yeah. But it kind of sparked this week's topic for us, because we were all talking about climate and how everybody downstairs, like, we have all these perennials and annuals that are available for purchase, but it's too early to plant them because of days like this where we get surprise snowstorms. And there's this word that's been tossed around a lot lately, and it's, you know, keeping those perennials and those annuals and trees and shrubs indoors, but finding ways to climatize them before you transplant them outside. So it started this whole thing for me. I'm like, what is climatization? Like, how do you do it? What are the benefits of it? And I think it's a great topic for today.
Yeah. I mean, it's pertinent.
Yeah.
Climatization. Okay. So in a nutshell, let's start really quickly there. Climatization is taking a plant from a controlled environment and getting it used to being in an uncontrolled environment.
Okay.
So hardening it off.
Yeah.
But it does not matter how frequently or how well you climatize a plant. If you put a New Guinean patient out in the frost, it will die.
Yeah.
You cannot make them strong enough.
So, no, it's used to New Guinea.
Yeah. And I spoke to somebody this week, one of our colleagues, actually, Liana. And Liana was telling me she saw her neighbor on April 28th planting all of the annuals in the front bed.
Oh, no, like in a garden bed, not even something you can take inside.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of plants it was? Like, was it the hardier ones?
It's
or?
Not going to matter in
weather.
It's this cold. The other day, it wasn't frost. There was ice on the ground, like ice, like slippy, be careful, put your Jeep in 4x4 ice on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care what annual you've planted. I don't know if they were tomatoes, marigolds, geraniums. I didn't ask that.
Yeah.
Liana did say flowers, so I presumed not veggies. I went with geraniums. But if they live, they ain't going to be doing good.
You know, I saw an Instagram post from our friend Cheryl Normando from last week's episode with the Prairie Gardeners how-to books. And she was saying that she remembers a time when she was working at a garden center. And she remembers when plants weren't really brought in, like annual bedding out plants weren't brought in until, you know, the end of May. But now it's hard, right? Because you come in April and you see all of these things available. And then you think, well, if they're out, then that must mean I can plant them. But
but, you know, you see Christmas decorations in September, it doesn't mean you put it up.
Huh? I know. And that's exactly it. So,
And I do want to say I'm not knocking anybody. I want to make that clear. Like, I feel bad. Okay. That's why we do things like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, we're not here to shame anybody. Mm-hmm. I understand the winters can suck.
Yeah.
And they can suck worse for some people. Mm-hmm. People who have SADs and depression and whatnot. And they see that color and they're desperate for it. And that's why I feel so bad for them, because they got it and the color and it made them happy and now it's going to die. And I want to prevent that as much as I can. If you're desperate for the color, we've said this before, get a hanging basket, get a pot, and you're going to be climatizing it too.
Yeah.
So it all comes in, but just delay your planting and get your plants, buy them early. I have no problem with that. You're my team if you're getting your plants early and you're planning ahead and you're gung-ho. But let's climatize them. Let's wait a little and let's get there.
Okay, so let's talk about the climatizing, because you mentioned that the benefits for climatizing is to get it used to an environment that it hasn't been used to. So a lot of the plants that you see in the garden centers, they have grown up in a nursery, in a controlled yep. environment. Sometimes the controlled air, they've got some heat, they've got a lot of sunlight. They're pampered.
Yep. Yeah.
They're pampered. And same with your seedlings. When you start them inside your house, they're pampered. They have a grow light on them most likely. They've got, probably no wind. They have nothing to kind of strengthen them. So let's kind of talk about how you would go about climatizing your plants.
Well, and so here's another factor to remember as well before I jump in on that.
Yeah.
They've never had anything but the softest, nicest, best soil.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. it's like when you're a kid and you're getting older and you're like, I hate this crappy house. I can't wait to move out. And then you move out and you're like, wow, I really miss that crappy yeah. house. I didn't pay a heating bill, so the heat got cranked mm-hmm. and I had a comfy bed and there was always food.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get our plants ready for stepping out into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to look at is, one, can you get them outside safely?
Okay. And by, what do you mean by that?
So a lot of times when we think of climatization, okay, we instantly think of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. That was the first thing I brought up, somebody planting in the cold. So we look at it and we go, it's been in this greenhouse. The greenhouse is always 18 degrees. I'm going to leave it outside, and if it gets lower than 12 degrees, I'll bring it in.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're hardening them off for the cold. But what we don't think is that they've been in the greenhouse at 18 degrees. They're really not ready for those springs we get where it rockets up to 27.
Right. Yeah. You know, that I think that was earlier this week. That was the record temperature last year
yep.
around this time of year. So, yeah, I mean, it can definitely happen.
Yep.
And you're right. They're not used to it.
So you put your plant out in that temperature. You go out and you plant. There's no risk of frost. The heat is here, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wicked. And you go out and you put your plant in. People go, my plants aren't looking so good. I wonder
yeah.
why.
Yeah. That's you like know? Getting off the plane in Mexico and being like, oh, and then you instantly look for shade.
I did that. You know that whole thing, dress for your, for where you're arriving,
yeah.
Yeah, your destination. I'm a pretty experienced traveler. And one time I just was not thinking ahead, there's a lot going on. And I got off the plane in Mexico wearing a hoodie. And I was like, oh my God, I'm
yeah.
I walked yeah. outside the airport because the airport's air conditioned. I was like, oh, it looks like a lovely day outside. And I walked outside and an instant puddle of sweat on the
yeah.
sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't consider heat. In Calgary, wind. You touched on that with mm-hmm. a fan.
Right.
So you really want to look at all of these adverse conditions and figure out the best way you can start letting your plants get used to it. So when you put them in, all we're trying to do is mitigate that shock so that they start growing quick right mm-hmm. away. Because if it's shocked, it can sit dormant for 2 weeks, unlikely a month, but it's possible, where it's not growing or doing anything. It's just trying to stabilize.
Yeah.
We have a short season to begin with, especially with our veggies.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to make sure that we get all that covered.
Yeah, I heard somebody this week talking about how when you take your plants outside on those like warmer days, so you'd say probably above, 5-10 degrees, that kind of thing, you'd want to take them out?
Depends on the plant, but yeah, like perennials, I'd give them a little bit hardier. So yeah, maybe between 5-10.
Yeah.
Some of my tender annuals, they're not going out until we're well into double digits.
Okay. So you will have to be a little choosy.
Yeah.
And then someone also told me that you shouldn't put them in a direct sunlight. Is that right?
I wouldn't put them in direct sunlight if it was beating down at 28 degrees.
Yeah.
But if it's cool, there's a gentle breeze. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put a fulsome plant in deep shade.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm hurting it again.
Yeah.
So get it in the sun. But here's the thing. You don't have to leave it out all day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Put it out. You can leave it out for a couple of hours in the morning. Then in the heat of the day, you know, if it's going to be a scorcher, bring it inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it back out in the evening.
Yeah.
And get used to them. Another thing, trees and perennials, I'll recommend doing this as well. is once you've got them hardened off and you're starting to push it and they're staying out a little bit later, going out a little bit sooner, don't bring them inside at all if you have a garage or a shed.
Oh.
And just put them somewhere so they're in cold storage. Mm. Because the other morning it was zero, I think. I think it was 0 degrees. I started my Jeep in the garage and the thermometer on the Jeep said 5.
Oh, okay.
So my garage is significantly warmer than outside, but cooler than my house.
Yeah.
So it's that night, and there's no wind, there's no frost, nothing can get on them. Mm-hmm. So they've got that little bit of protection, but they're still being hardened off.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because we think perennials are really hardy, and I see people buy perennials, go home and plant them immediately.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what the ladies downstairs were saying, you know, and again, they're available. So people think that you can plant them now, but, you know, even the ladies down in the perennials department are having to tell people, like, these guys were nurtured. We brought them up from little roots, and now, you know, waiting a few weeks before you can put them in the ground is always a good idea. And you know, we are talking about wind. How much is too much wind?
It depends.
Yeah.
Do they have, so in a greenhouse the size of ours, okay, like you look at Golden Acre, the amount of fans we'd need, our power bill would be astronomical to get any simulation going. Like, yeah, you couldn't simulate the wind.
No.
But all of the peppers in my office have a fan blowing on them.
Yeah.
And now, here's the other thing. I can't get my pepper seedlings outside. Mm-hmm. So the other day when it was cool, but it wasn't cold, I opened my office window, put the fan in the window, and blew cold air on the peppers.
Ah.
And I was like, okay, there you go. There's a little bit of shock for you.
Okay.
And then I closed the window, moved the fan again. Yeah. So now it's blowing from the other way, and I'm just moving those stems a lot. So
yeah.
If they've never been moved and they've grown very static, and you put them outside in the wind, a stiff breeze can be enough to knock over seedlings.
Well, and you know how windy it's been in Calgary lately. Like, oh, I feel like this has been one of the more challenging years to try to harden off your plants.
The other day, it was absolutely gorgeous outside, and that wind was enough to blow you into the street.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. What was it? Last weekend. Yeah, yeah, it was so sunny, and it was so beautiful. But if you would put your plants outside, you really have to supervise them, or else that wind is just going to topple them over.
I threw the Frisbee for Jimmy.
Yeah.
I felt like Superman. It just went so far.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it came back and hit you in the face.
Then I did throw it from the other direction in the park, and it went like 7 feet. But I don't want to talk about that part. I want to talk about the part where I was epic.
Of course.
But yeah, that wind, and honestly, wind that strong, it doesn't matter that I had a little fan blowing on my peppers, they're going to get damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's other tricks you can do as well. If you have one of those greenhouses, if you have a small plant, seedlings even, that dome that you started them in, put the dome over them again.
Oh, smart. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
So you're protecting them, you're getting them used to the temperatures, the wind dies down, leave it out, and err on the side of caution. I put my plants out and forgot about them.
Oh, no.
Yep. I have set a reminder on your phone, do something. At the end of the day, you're tired.
Yeah.
Okay. And your brain is on, oh, tomorrow I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to get to bed, blah, blah, blah. And you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and you look outside and it went down to 1 degree. There's a frost and all of your annuals are sitting outside.
Yep. Yep.
Your seedlings. I've done it. I've lost crops before from doing that. And it's a gut punch.
Actually, this is a really good segue because say you do forget.
Yep.
You've worked so hard to get these little seedlings up to where they are. And then now all of your hard work is gone. Can you, like, how discouraged should you feel? Because I think going back to our starting from seed series, we're talking about how a lot of these veggies, especially, you can start them outside.
Yep.
So I think, like, you know, you shouldn't be too discouraged if that does happen. You'll just have like probably a later harvest, hey?
It is massively discouraging, but don't give up.
Okay.
Because when it happened to me, oh my God. When you know when you're doing something and life's great and you're super happy and you're like, oh, this is the best day ever. I love my life, blah. And then you're like, holy, I didn't turn the stove off.
Yep.
That sucker punch gut feeling where it like, everything seems to go into slow motion and then it crashes down on you and all of your enjoyment. That's the same feeling I got.
Yeah.
Okay. And and you're like, all of my work was for nothing. This sucks. I'm angry. I'm bitter. Go ahead. That's valid. Feel that way. And then the next day, take a deep breath, realize that garden centers like us, we got your back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have pre-grown plants for that reason. Mm-hmm. Change your plant. Okay, maybe you lost your specialty tomatoes and there isn't enough time to grow them. I'll tell you this. It only happened to me once. Now, I have left plants out. I'm not going to make it sound like I'm a total saint. I have left plants out the other side where I've left them out too much in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I go see them and they're a little wilty.
Yes.
They're like, go get a drink over here. A little thirsty. And you're like,
Oh, yeah, because you put them outside and they're exposed to more wind. Their soil can dry out faster.
And they're in these little seed cups, yeah, or these little pots. Mm-hmm. The roots are solid. So the roots are drinking. And now suddenly they're like, oh, I'm bone dry.
Yeah.
I haven't lost any crops that way. I've definitely had some solid wilting going on. another hour or two, maybe I'd be singing a different story. Yeah. But it happens. It's how we learn. And that's why I said now, when I lost mine, I age myself horribly in this podcast. There were no cell phones.
No. Oh, good. Yeah, no way so, to yeah, document
no,
that.
Well, also no reminder.
Oh, right.
That's why now I'm like, anything. I'm like, tomorrow I need to put my shoes on. Okay, Google, set a reminder for 5:45 to put your shoes on. Left shoe, right shoe.
Yes. I mean, people have watering schedules on their phone too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah,
and
that makes
sense. You've got the technology, especially for something like saving your plants.
Yeah.
You know, just set a reminder. Hey Siri, hey Google, whatever. Remind me at 6 p.m. to go check on the plants.
I thought you activated my phone.
Oh, I probably...
I was like...
Yep. Go check on... Thanks, Google.
No way. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I now have a reminder on my phone at 6 o'clock to check the plants.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, that reminder is going to go, and I'm going to be like, what plants? I better go check on my plants. Yeah. And I'm going to check on all my... It is so important to climatize. It really is.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very beneficial for the plants and will probably help when you go into transplanting as well. They're already going to be more established, a little bit stronger. Because as you said in previous episodes, transplanting will shock a plant because you're removing it from its current little home. You're moving it into a bigger space, different amendments, different soil, different schedules, different everything. And that is why I want to bring in an email that we got or a message over on Facebook. Mary messaged us over on Facebook on the Golden Acre Facebook and was talking about how they really want to know what the secret to growing cucumbers is, because it's usually on the transplanting part where they get stuck. They'll either, they'll transplant it and then they'll keep growing it, but then they won't receive any harvest or the plant is too weak. So can we go into a little bit more of that transplanting? So once you have climatized your plants and you're getting to that point of planting time, how should you go about that?
Well, I like what you said about the shock, to bring that up again. If you came home today after work, and Brad was like, oh, by the way, I moved us. This is your new house. It's twice as big now. Enjoy. And walked out. You'd be in shock.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's you. You can rationalize. You can look around. You can understand. But you'd be like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
The plants do the same thing. So the roots are nice and tight and they're all coiled up. And then we put them in a bigger container and the roots sag. They open a bit, which we want them to.
Yeah.
The top of the plant kind of takes a shock. Now it's like, what's going on? What am I doing? What's the number one thing in first aid we say if somebody's in shock? Get them to drink water.
Oh.
Get them to drink water. Sit down and sip on water.
Wait, do you know first aid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know first aid.
Oh.
Well, good. Thankfully, one of us does.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. I know plant aid, too.
drinking water, number one. Got it.
No, but because when you're in shock... basically, something has happened. It can be any level, and your brain is turned off. Drinking water is something we all know. It's good for you. It hydrates you because your body has gone into fight or flight syndrome, and there's all kinds of things going on. Drinking water is going to hydrate you. It's going to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's something rhythmic. You know what you're doing. A lot of times, we take our plants and we transplant them, and the number one thing. So, a few years ago, I transplanted plants in my office. And then, because I'm a genius, proceeded 2 days later to go on a month-long vacation.
Sayonara, buddies. Yeah.
Well, The person I'd asked to look after my plants, they were there when I transplanted.
Yeah.
But they weren't a plant expert. And the plants started not doing good. And these are like my pothos wall. Okay, like pride and joy. I adore my pothos. And they didn't know what to do, and they asked somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, that person didn't know they'd been transplanted.
Oh.
And they said, oh, it looks to me like overwatering.
Oh, no.
So they dialed the watering back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I came back from vacation, and they were like, your plants aren't doing good. Oh, my God, I think I've killed your pothos. And I went in and looked, and I was like, oh, nope, but they ain't doing good. I upped the watering. I didn't let the soil dry out, basically. I let it dry to moist, and then I watered again. Dry to moist, watered again. Mm-hmm. So they were getting watered 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You've seen them now.
Yeah.
Every single one of them bounced back.
Yeah.
So the key when you transplant, the rule of thumb is anytime you plant something, so that's transplanting or planting it new. So let's go back quick to our perennial, okay? And I will get to cucumbers specifically, I promise. Because we were just talking about cucumber sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I love cucumber sandwiches. So good. What was I talking about?
Perennials.
Yeah.
Perennials.
I started thinking about a cucumber. Cucumber sandwich with a little bit of ranch dip.
Yes. Oh, just stop. I'm in a ranch era.
But you take that perennial and it's grown in a pot and you lift it out the pot and plant it in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. People say that is a planting. It's not a transplanting. A transplanting is moving it from ground to ground. Repotting is moving it from a pot to a pot. Planting is from a pot to the ground. But it's still shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule of thumb is every day for 2 weeks, you water that perennial. Doesn't matter if the ground is still moist.
Yeah.
Water that plant. Same with your trees. Okay. Same with your annuals. Every day for 2 weeks. Then after 2 weeks, you taper off to as needed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've allowed the plant to establish. You haven't allowed those roots to. Now is not the time to try and harden up your plant. It's in shock. Now is the time to just be like, there's all the water you want, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, keep drinking. And you keep it moist. So then let's go to cucumbers. So do you know in the email, did they say they were moving it from a small like seedling pot to a big pot or transplanting it into the garden outside?
No, but they said that they were having trouble with the transplanting from indoor to outdoor, but also the direct seeding wasn't giving them enough time for harvest either. So,
okay, so
there's a couple of things to reference.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of there. So I grow cucumbers. Nelly every year. I love cucumbers. So does Jenny. So does Jimmy.
That's so cute. I love that.
We all love cucumbers. Even Harry does. So I mentioned the dog before the kid. Ace parent. Harry too. Whatever. But normally, I'll start my cucumbers not ridiculously early. If I start them inside from seed, I get a jump start maybe a month ahead of time. Like maybe I'll start them end of April, middle of April. Direct sowing you can do, but even if you start them middle of April, say a month and a half before planting time, you should still be getting cucumbers end of July.
Okay.
Yeah. But cucumbers need a hell of a lot of sun and more water than you think.
Well, yeah, you think about how much of the cucumber is water.
Yeah.
So I do this thing now with cucumbers where like I will shred them on a grater and then make little discs and then dip them in ranch. And by the time I am done an entire cucumber, I'm in the ranch and the ranch is so watered down because of all that water that's coming off of the cucumbers. And I look at my cutting board and there's just water everywhere.
Yep.
So I'm like, if there's that much water in just like the fruit, I wonder how much it needed to grow it for the roots, for the plant, for everything.
There's something like 96% water.
That's insane.
Yeah, something like that. 86, a very high percentage of the cucumber plant is water. So a lot of times people realize that when it starts fruiting, but they don't realize that when it's young. It needs that water because they are expansive and aggressive growers.
Yeah.
So they need sun and they need water. The only thing I can think of, and I've grown cucumbers and I've grown them up trellises. I've put them in with my tomatoes to trail over. I've done them in a window box.
Yeah.
Maybe this is better than saying a lot of water that people can't really think. So your standard window box is, I don't know, maybe 30 inches by 10, 12 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe 10, 12 inches deep. Okay. So I had my cucumbers in that and I was flooding it. Mm-hmm. So I mean filling it up to the brim. So my soil is 1.5 inches below the rim, filling it to the rim with water minimum twice a day.
Wow.
Minimum twice a day. And that's why, so here, yay Calgary for this one. That's why you want wind on your cucumbers, because cucumbers sitting in that moist environment, having that amount of moisture in them, can be quite susceptible to powdery mildew.
Right.
So keep them in a well-ventilated area. You want that soil to dry out, but you don't want to water them in the morning and then get to it the next morning.
Yeah, I heard somebody saying that it might be a good idea to grow cucumber on like a trellis type situation so that the fruit and everything is off the ground mm-hmm. and then it has a chance to dry out.
Absolutely. That's why I've done them in large pots where they act as a trailing plant.
Yeah.
When I did them in the window box, I put in a pot trellis mm-hmm. Behind them. So the ones in the front cascaded down, the ones in the back climbed the trellis. I don't think I've ever grown a cucumber just in the bed. The slugs and snails would.
Snugs and snails. Sorry.
I got PTSD on that. I was like, before this episode, if we talk about it, slugs and snails.
Yes. Slugs and snails. Do you think that there's any merit in trying a transplant fertilizer while you're doing it? Is it worth it?
Love transplant fertilizer.
Yeah. So a transplant fertilizer, can we just kind of go over what that is?
Yeah, it's any transplant fertilizer. They're called transplant fertilizers. There's Quick Start. There's Root Boost. There's Ultra Transplanter. You're going to have a high middle number. So one of the most common ones, they dialed it back because the amount of phosphorus was pretty ridiculous. But the common number was 10-52-10. Yeah.
That's high.
Oh, yeah. Like when you think about lawn fertilizer, which basically just feeds grass, it's like 32-00. And this is 10-52-10. It's way too high.
Ooh.
Some of them out there now are, I think there's like a 10-20-10, 5-15-5 mm-hmm. I've seen, that's what you're looking for. Anything with a high middle number, the high middle number, is two things. It's root development and seed development. If it's seed development, that means it's also, fruit and flower development.
Okay.
So, doing that, it's going to feed those roots. Now, one thing I will say, if you're doing, so there's two types of fertilizer here. And you know how I always say fertilizer, pick the one that's best for your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just because it's horticulture and nothing is written in stone, I'm dialing that back. I got fertilizer whiplash.
Oh, no.
So I always say choose the one that's best for your lifestyle. Do not choose a transplant fertilizer that's best for your lifestyle. If you're transplanting a relatively large shrub, a large perennial. You know, I did a hosta one time that was probably the size of half of this table, the root ball on it. It took two guys to lift it. And even then we were like, we can't hold this for long. It must have weighed close to 300 pounds.
A hosta?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the root system was probably this deep on it.
Wow.
It was I think we got, oh my God, I want to say we got like 24 new plants off it by the time we divided it.
Okay, not bad.
It was pretty wild. It was so healthy. The client was like, I need that lifted. It's getting ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We said, okay, no problem. And I did my usual where I said, okay, just so you know, it's currently in bloom. If we lift that and divide it, it's probably going to drop all of its flowers because it's going to go into shock. And they said, yeah, fair enough. I don't care. I want it done. I said, okay, perfect. No problem. I didn't want you to call me later and be like, where's all my flowers gone? So we lifted it. We divided it. This thing was so healthy, it barely dropped any flowers.
Wow.
So when we planted the other 24, I don't think they kept all 24. They let us take some because they were like, I don't need that many hostas. And we're like, yeah, it's going to lose its flowers. The next week we came back and they're all still in bloom. We're like, how healthy was this damned hosta? So if I'm transplanting a plant that big, that healthy, a big shrub, I will probably use a slow-release transplant fertilizer. It's going to break down slow. It's warm. There's moisture. The roots are going to feed. If I'm doing a seedling to outdoors, I want a liquid one.
Okay.
Because liquid, I want it uptake, like immediate. I want those roots to start drinking it in because it's going to help ease the stress. Another one you can do as well. I recommend that. Another one you can do as well is anything with high potassium.
So, okay, that's the first number.
No, last number.
Dang it.
Yeah.
50-50 shot. We do have a fertilizer episode, by the way. So if you are at all confused like myself and we'll have to rewatch this episode, go back into our history and check that out.
Yeah. NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. That's why whenever...
No problem, Ken.
Yeah, if some...
Do you ever do that? Is that like how you remember things? You assign it a name, like...
I am going to remember that forever. No problem. I've never, in my entire life, I've never put that together, but I absolutely... No problem. It works. I've got nothing now.
We're talking about potassium.
Okay, yes. So
yeah.
Potassium is really good. It regulates everything that's happening in the plant. So potassium, much like it's good for us, if we've exerted ourselves, it helps establish where everything needs to go. Kind of does the same thing for a plant. So it's like, oh, you're uptaking this gas. I need this over here. Oh, you're bringing in water. That's going over there. And it regulates the control of water, nutrients, and gas exchange.
Oh, cool.
So if you've done a transplant, and then some potassium, and that'll help ease the shock. Because the plant will be like, oh, these roots need a bit more, and it'll start balancing them out. So a transplant and then a potassium, then get onto your regular fertilizer program.
So, how long after... would you say?
2 weeks.
So basically that same period that you're doing the 2 week watering, which don't fertilize every day
with that,
because that's another thing, right? You know, you're watering every day, but you don't need to put the fertilizer in it every day.
Fertilize to manufacture. Yeah, I'm not dialing that back.
No. Always read, which I know sometimes you never do. So after you finish your 2 week, it's kind of like, I'm on antibiotics from the doctor and then after the 2 weeks, then you can go to your regular fertilizer, which at that point, I think it's just as specific on what you're growing. So like if it's an all purpose or if it's like a flower boost or an evergreen or whatever.
Exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense. That's actually really easy to follow. Before we wrap things up with this episode, I just want to ask, you know, if you have transplanted something and you're sort of wondering like that whole shock, how long should shock last before you're like, ooh, this plant is not doing well and it'll probably like die off and I'll need to try something. Like when do you go to a plan B? Like the whole timeline of everything.
Good question. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks is a good, that's why we water for 2 weeks. Yeah. So if you plant, there's a good chance a couple of things will happen. It'll either not be doing anything. It's just kind of like, and it's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm very, very, very confused. No problem. Sometimes it'll look bad. Sometimes you plant it, it'll drop flowers. Mm-hmm. The leaves will wilt. It may drop some leaves. I mean, you move a fiddle leaf fig from one side of the window to the other and it's like drama queen. So sometimes it might not look great. Mm-hmm. That's okay too. Again, it's shocked. If after 2 weeks there is no improvement, as in, especially with a young plant like that within 2 weeks should be growing. You should be seeing life on it. If it is doing absolutely nothing, you might want to think, oh no, I've made a serious error. Maybe give it another week. But at that point, how much time are you willing to invest on something that is no longer performing? Now, again, I'm talking seedlings here. I want to make this clear. Perennials, let them sit. I've seen some trees and perennials. I did a shrub one time, huge shrub. It was a nightmare to transplant. It took way too long. There was roots connected. We had to get in. We had to cut the roots. It was a brutal job. It wasn't fun at all. And this poor thing, we were having to soak it down while we were digging it out because it was full sun and we've got it tilted on its side and we're cutting roots and everything. It was not good. And we planted it and I want to say it was June or July. And it dropped every single leaf.
No.
Yeah, just... done. And I was like, oh my God, instead, I was like, well, we don't know. So we fertilized it. We kept the water to it. We did everything. Next year it came back. It needed a pruning. Not every single branch came back. It didn't come back into this stunning shrub that it had been, but it wasn't three branches with two leaves. There was enough growth. We pruned it back. It started growing. Within 2 years, it was back to being a good shrub.
Really? So yeah. Even if it's lost all of its leaves, it doesn't mean that it's dead. It could still have growth.
Yeah. So what it's done is it's basically you've triggered early dormancy.
Oh, okay.
Think of it like a plant coma. You've shocked it so much, the plant is like, I can't photosynthesize. I need to drop these leaves. Okay. I need to shut down. And it shuts down. But there was enough energy in there. We fertilized it. Now, we stopped fertilizing after, I can't say it for sure, probably about a month when we realized there was no new growth coming. Mm-hmm. We were like, okay. And we just kept watering. Got watered regularly. We kind of left it in the winter. Didn't need any protection. And then come the next spring, we're like, I guess we're ripping it out. Nope, there was life. There was life. And we were like, hey, there we go. And a bit of care, pruning, fertilizer, and it came back. So perennials and shrubs, they're worth the investment. Give them the time. Your seedlings, everybody is different. What your threshold is. I know for me personally, I'd be able to make a better educated guess. But if it ain't looking good after 2 weeks,
time to move on.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking of a plan B.
Plan B.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that wraps us up for this week.
That went by super quick. That was awesome.
It did, but it was so, I think it's so pertinent for this time of year. So whether you are going to try to acclimatize your plants, get them strong for the season so that, you know, transplanting will go a little bit smoother, take all these tips about transplanting. I know transplanting can be very scary for a lot of people. Like you said, you put in all that time and effort of babying these seedlings to hopefully get a harvest earlier in the season. So hopefully, you know, give it lots of sun, give it lots of water, consider that starter fertilizer. I'm actually going to go into our blog, goldenacre.ca/blog, and then put in some recommendations for some of the transplant fertilizers that we have in store if you're looking for one.
And as always, we touched on everything else. Use what the manufacturer recommends.
Yes.
Don't think you're going to help your plant by doubling it up and giving it that extra strong boost. Yeah. If anything, if any fertilizer manufacturers are listening, please stop listening for the next 8 seconds. If anything, dial your fertilizer back, go to two-thirds strength. So if it says 10 milliliters per liter, use 7 milliliters per liter. Dial it back a bit. Do not increase it. Okay, fertilizer producers, you can listen again.
Okay, perfect.
Smooth.
Well, if you're listening to us on Spotify or YouTube, make sure to give us a comment, a review. Make sure to answer our polls and questions over on Spotify as well. We are also available by email. You can email us at info@goldenacre.ca. Just put podcast somewhere in the subject line. Let us know how you're doing this spring. What are you growing? What are you interested in growing? What kinds of things do you want to hear more about on the podcast?
Let us know what your weather is doing, because we're going to be very jealous.
Yes, exactly, BC. No.
Looking at you, Vancouver.
I know, only because my sister lives there. Yeah. I got a razz on her sometimes. But we are going to continue on this whole spring season journey with you as we get into gardening season. We got a lot of fun topics coming up. I know Mother's Day is coming up.
Yep.
May Long Weekend is coming up, which for gardeners is always an exciting time of year. I have a countdown on my phone.
Do you really? Or you can skip May Long, do your planting June. Not long.
Yeah.
And just go party in the woods.
I can't. I don't move into my house until after the May Long Weekend, so I'm kind of forced to
wait. And I can't because I'm working here all 3 days. But other people might.
We will live vicariously through you. But join us next week for a lot more gardening fun.
Bye, everyone.